We begin the current daf, Masechtas Kitin, daf Pei Hei. We begin 15 lines down from the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah. And this Mishnah continues on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which we discussed, the Machlekes, Rabbi Elazar, and the Chachamim. Regarding the halacha, if someone says, Hariat Meteres Chol Adam, he divorces his wife, and the general text is, you're permitted to every single person. But, however, he says, Ela Leplani, except for that person. So that the Chacham said that that's going to be possible because that's what's called Shir Beget. You need to have a krisis, a safer krisis, a book of severance. This get has to totally divorce you and separate you from your wife. If you're saying that you're holding on to some of the Kiddushin and that's how she's still forbidden to that one person that you're excluding from the divorce, then you're not totally severed and therefore that's not a valid get. Now that our Mishnah continues with exceptions to that flaw in excluding someone else. As the Mishnah says, so the husband tells to the wife and is giving her the get, you're permitted to every single person, Ella, except la'abu ulavicha, to my father or to your father. Or let's say he says la'achi ulachicha, to my brother or to your brother. Or he says la'evedu la'evet kechavim, that you're permitted to everybody except for a slave or a non-Jew. Or ulachol misha'in la'olav kedushin, or for any person that this woman anywhere would not have kedushin, says the Mishnah kosher. Because although we said in the previous Mishnah, when you exclude somebody, the get's not valid because it's not a full-fledged krisis. Here, it's not maintaining any kedushin that the husband's holding on to, and that's why she's going to be forbidden in that person, let's say her father or his father. Because even without his ishus, without his maintaining a relationship with her that he created by his original kedushin, she still wouldn't be able to get married to those people because kedushin wouldn't be typhus in them anyway because she's forbidden without him. Because it's his father, which is her father-in-law, or it's her father, her brother. She's anyways forbidden, even if he totally divorced her. And therefore, even if he's saying, except for those people, it's not his relationship that's making her forbidden. Good, yeah, you are permitted to everyone except for these people, but it's still a total krisis from the husband himself. Now, however, if he says, Hariat Muteris L'chol Adam, he says, you're permitted to every single person, Ella, but he says, except for, let's say, Anamon L'Kayin Gadol. Let's say if she's a widow, and he's saying, I don't permit you, you're divorced and you're permitted to everyone, except for you, which his wife was a widow, to go ahead and marry a Kohen Gadol. Now, the reason being is that since Kedushin is typhus in what's called Chiv Alavim, when there's only a negative prohibition for this man and woman to get married, Kedushin, the marital relationship, takes effect. Now, as the Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin of Yud Chesem and Beis. Now, however, when he's now excluding and saying, look, I'm divorcing you on the condition that you, let's say she was widowed before she had married him, and now he's divorcing her, saying, look, I'm divorcing you on the condition that you don't marry Kohen Gadol. Now, actually, Kedushin is not going to be typhus when she would go ahead and want to get married to that Kohen Gadol, because now there is an Isser of Ishus that he's holding on to, this one who, her ex-husband who's divorcing her, and therefore it would come out that there is a Shir Beget. He is maintaining some of his relationship with her, which is now forbidding her to get married to that Kohen. Therefore, that is running into the problem of the previous Mishnah, which is not a total krisis. Or, for example, Grusha v'chalutz l'kayin hedyot. Let's say this woman who is a divorcee, or she's a chalutza, let's say from a previous relationship, and he tells her, when I'm divorcing you, on condition that you don't marry kayin hedyot, which anyway should be forbidden, but condition would have been typhus, because it's only a negative prohibition, it's not a chiyuv misa. Or let's say mamzeres nesina liyisrael. Let's say she was a mamzeres or a nesina, getting married to a Jewish man. Or let's say she was a Bas Yisrael, a regular Jewish woman, and he's forbidding her from getting married to Lamamzu Lanasin. You're permitted to everyone except for a Mamzer and a Nasin. Or, as the Mishnah concludes, V'chol mi sheyesh lo alav kedushin, or for any person that, when she's in a single state, she would have kedushin, although it's prohibited, it's a negative or positive violation to go ahead and get married to that person, but kedushin would take effect. Even afilab averi, even if, let's say, it would be a sin, but Kedusha would take effect, then Pasul. Then saying that exclusionary term of Elav, of Chutz, of excluding that person, would invalidate the get, because that would be considered Shir. You are, if the fact that now she can't get married to those people is not because of the Aveira itself, because that would have made Kedusha. Now Kedusha is not taking effect only because you're maintaining that little Kedusha left, forbidding her to marry that person, and therefore that Shir, that's not a full-fledged krisis. Now the Gemara just explains that by both of them, we said that this is a klal, a general statement, where we said that v'chol ulchol mishi ein olav kedushin. So the Gemara says klal of the ratio, when the ratio said a general statement of ulchomishi ain la love kedushin, and that anybody who she doesn't have kedushin for, if he's excluding her from that person, which we said cases in the Mishnah like a father or a brother, where then the get's going to be kosher because that's not shir. So what does it say? A general statement. Lasu yishar chiv kris is coming to include all other. Didn't go through all the relationships that would be a chiv karis if a woman would have that relationship. All those other cases are if he excludes those people, it's not considered shir because it's not his kedushin that's making her forbidden to them. She's anyways forbidden to them, and the kedushin wouldn't be typhus. Klal the seifa, the general statement of the seifa, which said that kol mishiyesh lo love kedushin, that anyone that she would have kedushin, even though it's a sin. Now, if he's excluding that person, the get's going to be puzzle. That's lasu yishar chivul ab, and that's coming to include all other negative prohibitions, kugin amayni umayavi, from those nations of Am and Amayav, where it's not vera, but it's not a chiv karas, not a chiv misa. Nesini, let's say that those are those from the givainim, which were from one of the shiva umays, which is a negative prohibition of leith tischatenbam, as Rashi explains. Or mitzri va'adoimi, or let's say within the first three generations when they convert, the Egyptians and the Edomites, where there's a iser asay, it's actually not even negative prohibition, it's a violation of a positive commandment not to marry them, where, again, kedusha would be typhus, and therefore if he's excluding, it's his ishus that's saying that the kedusha is not going to be typhus, and therefore that's a shir beget, and therefore, again, according to the Pirin Chacham, that's going to be an invalid get. That relating to the halach of our Mishnah, which again, we said that although usually when you say chutz, it's a problem, but if anyway it would not have been kedushin, so then it's not really you who is excluding, it's not your ishus that's doing that, and therefore it's a valid get. So I think everyone has the following question. Rav asked from Nachman, chutz mekedushin katan mahu. What's if the husband says, you're permitted to everybody, except for that individual, and that individual is a minor. What's the question? So the Gemara explains. Do you say that ultimately now, a minor, that's a boy, cannot create kedushin with a woman? So when he's saying, except for that boy, there's no shear in the get. It's not like he's saying that, oh, there's certain individuals that you're not divorced to. You're divorced for everyone, whoever you could go ahead and marry. Just like we said in the halacha of the Mishnah, that for father and my father, those are things that anyway she can't marry. So that's not considered shear beget. So do you say the same thing by a minor? Because she anyways can't marry a minor. So the fact that he's excluding him is not considered shir. Or the other side of the coin is, but yeah, ultimately, he will become someone that she could marry, but now when he's divorcing on condition that she doesn't marry him, that is the shir beget. So therefore then, the get would be possible. So Amalei Rav Nachman responded to Rava, and he said, Tanisua, we learned this in the Braisa. Why? Because the Braisa says as follows, it says, Kitanu misgareshes, a minor girl could get divorced, in other words, she could receive her get from her husband after her father dies, bekedushe avia. In other words, even if her father had married her off, which would make her marriage a biblical marriage, a full-fledged kedushin, meaning a minor girl can't get married, but rabbinically they allowed that, meaning through her mother and her brothers. But if her father's alive, the father is esbit nesati lishazeh, he could create full-fledged kedushin. Now, he dies. Now, it's on that the Bryce is saying, so when he's alive, he receives the gerushin. It's on that the Bryce said, but if he's dead, the daughter herself, the minor girl, could receive the gerushin. Now that, says Rav Nachman, amai, why? But v'habi'inon v'yatza v'haisa, you need to have, as the Pasuk equates, the kedushin to the gerushin. Now the problem is, seemingly, since the kedushin was a full-fledged kedushin on the biblical level, the gerushin should have to be the same thing too. Now, the problem is this girl should not be allowed to be divorced only if she herself could have made this kedushin, because it's equated, the gerushin and the kedushin. Now, she could not have made a biblical kedushin when she becomes an adult. She could acquiesce. She could receive her own kedushin. Then it would be that way. But here, the kedushin was, and she still is a minor. So how could she receive a gerushin if she couldn't do the kedushin? So rather, proves of Nachman el astilacha havaya. You know why it works, the halacha of the Braisa is? Because in the future, she will be someone that could create a biblical full-fledged kedushin. So therefore, even now, we consider her as someone of v'haisa. So therefore, she could have the v'yatza. Because the pasuk wasn't specifically when it says that you have to have v'yatza v'haisa, that right now you have to be someone that could create the kedushin, and only then would you be able to do a gerushin. That's why she could receive a gerushin now, because ultimately she will be someone that could create this full-fledged kedushin. So So you have the same thing regarding our halacha, that ultimately this boy will be someone that could create kedushin, and therefore when the husband is saying, except for that boy who's a minor, that would be considered a shir, because he is considered someone that she could marry, although not right now, but ultimately he will be, and we see that that considers the individual right now as a bar havaya, as someone that's eligible for marriage to this woman, and from the fact that he's invalidating her for that, so that would make the get into a get puzzle because of shir, of leaving over somewhat of the issues that he has with his wife regarding to that boy. Now then they asked the Gemara asked another question. Chutz min ha'noilod mahu. What's the halacha if the husband says you're permitted to everybody except for those boys that will ultimately be born? They're not even born yet. So what's the question? Hashdemi lo yisyalit. Right now, that child, whoever he is, meaning he's saying for anyone that's going to be born from here on, you're forbidden to. So, but they're not born, so you're not really leaving anything over because whoever's around, she's permitted to. Aidoma asidi de mesial. The order you say that no, because ultimately, there are boys that will be born, and she's going to be forbidden to them because of the issues, because of our marital relation of her husband, and therefore that is a shir. He's maintaining somewhat of a relationship for those boys that will ultimately be born. So Amalei, Rav Nachman responded to that question. He said, Tinisua, we learned this in the halacha of our Mishnah. Why? Because our Mishnah spoke about in the Reisha, about certain cases that even if he says, except for, let's say, Le'evet or Le'evet Kachavim, for a slave or for a non-Jew, since, as the category of the Reisha is, for Kedushin that wouldn't be Tevis anyway, so if Kedushin not being Tevis anyway, irregardless of her relationship with her husband, so even though he's excluding them, the get's going to be Kasha. Now, on that says Rav Nachman that Im Isa, if you would entertain to say that it would be a problem when he's excluding those children that are not even born yet, but that will be born, that would be considered a shir beget. Well, then Eved Va'evik Kachavim Nami, then even by a slave and a non-Jew also, you could say the same thing, Avidid Megairi, they ultimately in the future could convert and then will be eligible for her to marry them. And still our Mishnah teaches that that's not considered shir, because right now they're not eligible. They're not, and actually on some level, Geirus is Kikot and it's like a birth. So we see we're not concerned for the future, and that's not considered shir. So you should essentially say the same thing, says Rav Nachman, for those that are not born yet. That's not considered shir. Nothing more says, no, it's not a raya. Hanach lavli iguyari kaimi. We don't assume they're not destined to necessarily convert. A slave could stay a slave for the rest of his life, and so to a non-Jew for sure. Whereas Hani Lisli Yudikaimi, those which are not born, we know there's going to be more boys born. That's just the nature of the world. So since that's inevitably going to happen, maybe we would entertain that is considered shir and not arrive from the halacha of Mishnah of Eber and Noiv Kechavim, because there, yeah, we don't have to necessarily think that's considered shir, because who says they're ever going to convert? That's not necessarily the case. Then Rav asked another question. Let's say chutz mi bala chisa mahu. What's the halacha if he says you're permitted to everyone except for your sister's husband? What's the question? So the Gemara says hashda mi eloi chazile, because right now, as long as her sister's still alive, she's anyways forbidden, regardless of his relationship with his ex-wife, to go ahead and marry her sister's husband, which is her brother-in-law, and therefore essentially it's not a shir. Or maybe the question is, maybe her sister's going to die, and then she will be eligible, but then she's going to be forbidden because of what her husband had left over, and therefore it should be a shir beget. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to Rava, Tinisua, we learned this in Halacha of Mishnah. Again, that same case we said, that if you're excluding only, let's say, a slave or a non-Jew, that's not considered a shir. Now says Rav Nachman, they also could potentially convert. No different than potentially, not something that like in the previous case of for sure children are going to be born. Maybe her sister's husband is going to die. And so that would be the same thing, but then you would say the same thing by the halacha of our Mishnah, that maybe they're going to convert, and still we're not concerned, and it's not considered a shir. So we should say the same thing over here for our brother-in-law, that it's not considered a shir, because right now, her sister didn't die. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Because geiris le'shchicha, it's not common for someone to convert. And therefore, yes, in the halacha of the Mishnah, it's not going to be considered a shir. You're not really leaving anything over. Whoever she's permitted to, she's permitted to. But misa shchicha, death is more common than conversion. And therefore, since it's very possible that her sister's going to die, which would then permit her to marry her sister's husband, it's only forbidden when both of them are still alive. So therefore, you could say that actually that case would be considered a shir, and maybe it would be a get pasul, and therefore Rav Nachman didn't prove it from the halacha of our Mishnah. So Rav continues asking, let's say he says, chutz miznusayich mahu. What's halacha if he says that you're permitted to everyone, except you're forbidden to go ahead and have relations out of wedlock, acts of promiscuity through the act of znus. What's the question? On the one hand, benisun halei shayer, he didn't leave over anything in regards to marriage. In other words, you're permitted to marry everyone, so therefore maybe it should be a valid get. Oidil mashayer bebiyo, or maybe you say that no, but however, he did leave over something in regards to cohabitation, and therefore that is an element of ishus, of the relationship that he's maintaining, forbidding her from having a relation which is in the context of marriage. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman responded him, he says, Tenisu, we learned this in Halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said again in the Reisha regarding those cases which are kosher, even though they're being exclusions, where, let's say, La'abu Lavicha, where he says, on the condition that you're forbidden to my father or to your father. Now, that Rav Nachman explains, Ubamai, what is he forbidding her with his father or her father? And if you would entertain to say that he's forbidding her to marry his father or her father, how does that make sense? What do you think, that her father or his father, that they could even get married, that you would entertain that he would have to make a condition for that? But there's no condition taifis. She can't, even if she wanted to, she can't create a marriage. It just doesn't happen. Halachically, it doesn't take effect. So what does he need to even, what's he even doing when he's making such a condition? Elalav biznus. Obviously, what he's forbidding her, he's saying that you're permitted to everyone except for my father and your father, meaning, is to have an out-of-wedlock relationship with his father or her father. Now, that the diuk is, the inference is, ula abu ula avichu hu delei shayer. Now, so what we see from that halacha is that it's only for my father and your father, which that's considered that it's not a shir, because anyway she's forbidden to them. So it's not his holding on to that, that saying that, oh, that's creating the isser. Anyway, she's been to have his nose with her father or her father-in-law. Now, but the diuk is hola achar shayer, but what it sounds like is that an act of his nose for other people, that he's saying, you're permitted to have one, except from having his nose with that other man. Sounds like that would be considered shir. It would be him holding on to somewhat of the relationship, which part of that is bia, and he's saying that, no, you can't have an act of bia with that other person. It's only by his father and her father, where anyway should have been to have an act of bia with them, that there it's not going to be considered a shir. Now, that the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. Because actually I could tell you, dima b'nisuin. Maybe that what the Mishnah was describing, that he was forbidding her with his father and her father, was actually in regards to marriage. Now, although that's not normative for him to even need to forbid her in marriage, because she can't, it doesn't even take effect, it's talking about the other instance where she violated and she got married. In other words, yes, halachically it's not taking effect, but that's what he's coming to forbid her from getting married, from doing, yes, the ceremony of marriage, although halachically it's not even taking effect. Now, therefore, yes, the dig would be correct that for someone else, that would be a shir, because not letting her get married to someone else, that's the classic case we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, of chutz, which is holding on to somewhat of the marriage. But I would tell you that maybe regarding znus, maybe that wouldn't be shir, maybe that wouldn't be holding on to anything, because since he permits her to marry anyone and just forbidding her to have an act of znus with someone, maybe that's not holding on to the ishas of the marriage itself, of kedushin. And although, yes, he's forbidding her from having bia, but that's not holding on to the marriage itself. So, therefore, Rav Nachman's proof from the Mishnah is not conclusive. Another question Rava asked was, let's say, chutz mishaloi kedarkamahu. What's if, let's say, he permits it to everyone, harayat materz chladam, except from having unnatural relations with another man? So, what's the question? Because he didn't hold on to anything, he didn't forbid her from having natural relations with another man. Or maybe the question is, mishkeve ishiksib. We find that the pasuk talks about, when it talks about having a man having, say, forbidden relations with another man, it used the terminology of the man having relations with that man in what's called mishkeve isha, which in the plural is because that's how the man's going to have relations with that other man in the unnatural way. So we see that the pasuk equates the two types of laying with a woman in equating them. So therefore, essentially, he is holding on because it's not, although the general way of having relations is the natural way, and that he's permitting her, so therefore he's not holding on to anything, but he is, because we see even the unnatural way has the same halachic status as the natural way. And if you're holding on to any types of relations in regards to marriage, then you're holding on to that ishus, and therefore maybe that would be considered a shir. Another question that Rava had was, let's say he says you're permitted to everyone, chutz mehaforis nidirechumahu, but except for the nullification of your vows. That I'm holding on to those rights. So the Gemara says, do you say benisuin holy shai? But ultimately, look, he didn't hold on to anything in the marriage. She can marry whoever she wants to, so therefore there's no shir, it's a full krisis. Or maybe no, ishi yikemenu b'ishi yifarenikzib. The Torah says that her husband can validate her nidarm, and her husband can nullify it. Now, since he's holding on to the rights of being made for her neder, so we call him Isha. We're calling him her husband because it's the husband that has those rights. And since he's holding on to that, so maybe he is maintaining some Ishas, and therefore it's not a full-fledged krisis, and therefore it would not be valid. So the Gemara continues with the next question. Let's say he says, chutz mitrumasayich mahu. What's if he tells her, you're permitted to everyone except for your truma? In other words, if you're going to marry a kohen, he cannot feed you truma. So what's the question? On the one hand, that he didn't hold on to anything regarding marriage. She could marry someone else. It's a full-fledged krisis. Or maybe that, no. Kinyan kaspoy. The pasuk says that kinyan kaspoy hu yoichelboy, that the acquisition of the money of the kohen, which includes his wife, will eat in the truma. Ksiv, that's what it says in the pasuk. Now, here, since she's not eligible to eat from her new husband, the kohen, so she's not necessarily being considered then kinyan kaspoy. So it turns out that regards to Kohanim, her husband is maintaining some of the Kiddushin, which is part of that Kinyan, which we see the next husband's not getting that Kinyan Kasper, and that's why he's forbidden to give her Truma. So maybe that would be considered a Shir in the Gerushin, and therefore it would not be a valid get. Next question he had was, Chutz Miyusha Sayichma, what's the halacha if he tells her that you're permitted to everyone, but if you die, I'm going to inherit you? So the question is, again, b'nisun haleishayr, regarding marriage, b'yatza b'haisi, he's permitting her to get married to whoever she wants to. So therefore it's a full-fledged krisis. Or do you say that no, actually even in the marriage she is holding on to something. Why? Because the pasuk says, l'she'eray, that for his wife, so then the pasuk says, v'yarish oisa ksiv, so it says that he will inherit her. In other words, from here is where we learn out that a husband inherits his wife. Now since the original husband, her ex-husband is inheriting her, so it turns out that it's his wife. So on some level, she is still his wife. So therefore, maybe it is a shir and not a valid get. So too, Rava asks, let's say, chutz mikudushayich b'shtarmahu. What's if, let's say, he says you're permitted to everyone, except that if then your next husband's going to be mikadosh you through a document, it's not going to be a valid kedushin. So in other words, although there's three ways of being mikadosh an isha, isha niknes, bekesa, b'shtar, b'biya, he says that one of the three ways of a man being mekadesh you is not going to be valid. But he didn't hold on to all of them. She could go ahead and get married to the man with kesef and bia. What's the halacha in such a situation? So the Gemara explains. Mi amrina, do we say, esher demekadesh lo bekesef and bia, her new husband could get married to her with money or with cohabitation, and therefore he's not holding on to anything regards to ishtus. She could get married whoever she wants to in these two ways. Or maybe do you say but yatzav ha'isin? The pasuk says that the woman will leave her first husband and then she'll go and get married to the next husband. Where iskish havayis lihadadi, where that we see that there's a relation between divorce and marriage. And moreover, when the pasuk talks about vahaisa, getting married to a new man, although there's three ways, it says it that in one terminology which compares all three together. So therefore, if he's holding on to one of the three ways, essentially we're not calling it a complete vahaisa. And therefore, that will affect the relationship we have with Biyatza, and therefore, it's not a full-fledged garrison. Nothing more says, take or let it stand. All these questions are not answered by the Gemara regarding if they're considered a Shir Beget or if they're not considered a Shir Beget. And therefore, it would be valid, or it's a Shir, and it would not be a valid get, again, because it's not a full-fledged krisis. Nothing more moves on with the next Mishnah, talking about Gufa Shel Get, that this is the primary text of the get, that this is what should be written in every get, which is, Hareat muteres l'chaladim, you are permitted to every single person, as we continue on Tamid Beis. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Huda, he says that additionally that you have to write V'dein di'ahavi lichi minoi. That this book, this scroll that you are receiving from me, should be a sefer tiruchin, a book of gerushin, of a banishment, or v'gerushvukin, and a scroll of abandonment. The get peturin, the word get is actually the term of ashtar, the document of release. Lemahach lehisnasava, that you could go ahead and get married with this. L'chol gvar di sitzvayan, to any man that you want to. Now, as Rashi explains, the reason why Yehuda requires this text is because it has to be indicated from within the get itself that it's through this get that he's divorcing her, as the Gemara will explain. That's why you have to write these terms, that this should be, we're telling you that this is how you're getting divorced, this is your divorce document. Now the Mishnah says, Gufish shall get shichur, what's the primary text of a document of emancipation of a slave, is either Hare at bas chayrin, let's say it's for a slave woman, that you are a free woman, or Hare at la'atzmech, you're for yourself. That's the primary text when it comes to a get shichur. So the Gemara explains, Pshita, it's obvious, that Omalo le'ishtai, if a man tells to his wife, meaning he writes this in the get, Hare at bas chayrin, that you are a free woman, in other words, he writes the text that's for a slave woman, he writes for his wife, and he doesn't write Hare at meteres chaladam, lo'yam avo lo'yklum, he hasn't said anything, because it's not appropriate for divorce to write a terminology of freedom, because the wife was free up until now too, she was a bas chayrin. So that's not valid. So too, if Omalo le'shevchase, if he tells his slave woman, Hareat Mutez Chaladam, the term that's usually used for a wife, says you're permitted to any single person. Again, Le'omav Le'kum, he hasn't said anything because regarding work, he didn't exclude her from, because he didn't say you're a Bas Chayrin. Now, since she's still a Shefcha, a maidservant, and she has that title of a maidservant, so even though he said you're permitted to every single person, actually she will not be permitted to marry a free man. Because although he's saying you could go ahead, who are you? You can't. Since you didn't free her, you didn't make her what's called Ois Shefcha, taking her out of that box of being a maidservant, so she's still a maidservant, and a maidservant is not allowed to marry a regular, full-fledged Jewish man. Now, however, but what we do have questions is, if, let's say, Omalo le'isha, let's say he tells to his wife, Hare at la'atzmech, you are for yourself. Maha, what's the halacha? So the question is, legamri kamala, is he saying, in totality, you're by yourself, that's it, you and me are no more, and that it's a divorce? Oyla malacha kamala, or when he says, you're for yourself, it means for your work. I'm not supporting you anymore, you got to support yourself, and therefore that's not a get. So Amli Ravina Ravashi, Ravina said to Ravashi, Toshima, that's not, come in here, we can prove this from the halacha of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah concluded by saying, Gufa should get shichur, the document of an emancipation is Hare at Baschirin, either that you are a free woman, or Hare at La'atzmech, you offer yourself. So says Ravashi, says Ravina, Uma Avda, that if you find by a slave, the koni le gufe, where he owns the body of his slave woman. Ki ama lo hariat la'atzmech, but when he tells her these words, which you asked me in regards to a woman, that you are for yourself, koni gufe, she acquires her own body now. So isha le koni gufe, so a woman, a wife, where the husband doesn't own her body, le kalshken, isn't it all the more so that if he's telling her you're for yourself, that of course she owns herself now, meaning that she's divorced and she's her own woman now. And therefore that answers the question that we see as a culture came from the halacha of a get shichur, that for sure that would work as a gerushin, as for a get isha, that she's considered divorced. But however, he had another question. Amalei Ravin L'Ravashi. Let's say Amalei La'avde. Let's say he tells to his slave, Einli Esig Bach Mahu. Let's say he says, I have nothing to do with you. That's what the master says to the slave. What's the halacha? So Amalei Rav Chanan L'Ravashi, Vamila, and some say it was Rav Chanan Mechuzeno L'Ravashi, Toshima, come in here, the time like we learned in Abraisa. Hamoicher avdei la'ever kacham. If someone sells his slave to non-Jews, so the halacha is yatzel lecheres. In other words, although we mentioned on Daf Mem Dalem and Aleph that actually the rabbis penalized this Jewish owner because now that he's selling him to a non-Jew, he can't fulfill mitzvahs and so on. So they penalize him that he has to redeem him for up to 10 times his value. But what the Braisa is saying is when it says he goes free is that even though you're redeeming him now and he's coming back home, you can't work him anymore. He's a free man now. So although you got to pay for his redemption, but you're paying for him to go free. Now additionally, says the Braisa, B'tzorach get shichur. You also still have to write a document of emancipation to then totally free him to be able to marry a Jewish woman. Because although monetarily he's free, but prohibitory law requires that there's a get shichur to free him so that now he can marry as a full-fledged Jew, a Jewish woman. And this is required, Mirabi Rishon, from his first owner, the one again who had sold him to the non-Jews. Now, on that Om Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, he says, "Bamed devam amum." When do we say this that the master would still have to write a get shicher? That shalei kasev alav einoy. That's only if he hadn't written a document when he sold them to the non-Jews, so there was no shtar then. So then, again, he would have to write a shtar shicher when he redeems him. If he had already written this einoy, this document from beforehand when he sold him to the non-Jews, then if he already wrote this einoy, then zeh shechruri, then that's already considered his emancipation, and he doesn't have to write a new get shecher. So the Gemara says, my einoy, what is this, his document that we're referring to, which if he wrote this at the time when he sold him to the non-Jews, he wouldn't have to write him a new get shecher now. So Rav Sheshes, he says, because the cost of lay, he writes to the slave at the time when he's selling him to the non-Jews, he writes as follows. He says, Lekeshativ rachami menu. When you run away, when you escape from the non-Jews, in other words, if you can get out from them, I'm selling you to them, but if you find your way out and you escape, Ainli Esikbach, I have nothing to do with you anymore. So that is what the Gemara is proving. And obviously, you see that the term Ainli Esikbach is a terminology of cheres, of freedom, because you didn't free him, you have to write a get shicher. So he said, no, but if he wrote Einoy already, that's already valid in the same way as a get shicher. So we see, obviously, that saying the terminology, which is, as Rav Sheshes explained, Einoy is writing Einli Esikbach, is a terminology of Cheres, and that would be valid as a get shicher. Now, Gemara goes back to quote from our Mishnah that Rabbi Huda Imer, he said, unlike the Tanakama, says you have to write V'den di havi lechi minei, and that this sefer that you're going to get from me, this get, Sefer Tiruchin, Vigir Shavukin, there should be a book of banishment and a scroll of abandonment, and so on. So the Gemara says, but what is the Machlekes Tanakama and Rabbi Huda? Why did the Tanakama say you don't have to write this in, like as if this is the get that I'm using? You could just say Hariat Matez Chol Adam in the get. And Rabbi Huda says you have to say all this terminology of proving that it's this get that is what's abandoning you and what's releasing you and what's banishing you to allow you to marry other people. So the Gemara explains, Rabban and Savri, the Tanakama, the rabbis, they held, Yudayim She'ein Meichichais. Regarding hands, that's a little definition, which comes from the terminology of like, just like a handle is something that you can hold on to the primary thing itself, like you don't have to hold the cup, you could hold a handle. So something that's not clear, not totally foolproof, it's not clearly indicating that this is the essential, but there's leanings toward that. So the Rabbanah hold Havin Yudayim. That would be considered a handle. So although let's say according to the terminology that the Rabbanan say, when you say Hariat Materes Chaladim, so when you write it in a document and you give it to her, it's not clear 100% that you're using the sefer to be Megarisha, but it's pretty clear that that's what you're trying to do when you're giving her this document and you're saying Hariat Materes Chaladim and you're giving her the Get Shichra. You're giving her the Get Isha. Now, therefore, even though you didn't write, and that this should be that, you know, not writing that in the text itself, it's pretty obvious that you're divorcing her with this get. And we say, from the fact that he wrote a get and he gave it to her, he's obviously revealing his intention that he wants to divorce her with this get, because or else he would just tell her. If we would think that that it's his words that's divorcing her, he wouldn't go through the whole effort of writing a get. So though it doesn't say clearly in the get that you're using the get to divorce her, but that's what's called Yidayim She'ein Mechichais, that there is some handle here, there's something leaning towards us thinking that way, it's just not 100%, that's considered Yidayim. Whereas Rabbi Hudasav, he disagrees, he says Yidayim She'ein Mechichais, lo havin Yidayim. If it's not clearly indicating that this is what the mechanics are, it's not considered a yad. It's not considered like as if you're holding the handle of the cup. And therefore, the time of the custom of a Dain, therefore, Yud holds is only if you write that this is the sefer that's being megarish you. It's you're indicating, you're proving that it's the get itself that's going to divorce her. But if you didn't write, and this, you didn't write that in the text itself, that this is what's divorcing you, Ami, we would say, B'dibur Garsha. Maybe he's actually divorcing her through his speech. Because at the time that he's giving her the get, he's saying, Hariat Materes Chol Adam. So maybe, which wouldn't not be a divorce has to happen with a safe increases, but we would think that if we didn't write this Vedain, maybe he's divorcing with what he's saying. The Shtara, now although the Rabban said, no, the Shtar is Yudayim, Shein Mechichas, it's indicating why to go through the effort. Maybe the Shtar Rai Ba'almuhu. Maybe he wrote the document just as a proof, just that she could have something at a later point in time to, as testimonial wherever she goes to show that I'm single. What do you mean, aren't you married? Yeah, but look, here's my get. Say I was divorced. And therefore, says Rabbi Huda, you have to write in the text itself that that's how you're getting divorced. Because or else, it would be a daim she'ena mechichas. It's not obvious that that's what you're using for the divorce. And therefore, he holds loyam yadayim. And it wouldn't prove 100% that you're using the get to divorce. Maybe it's just there as a proof. And since we have to know, and it has to be clear from the action that you're divorcing her with the sefer krisis, Rabbanu hold that's enough with just saying her materas chaladim and going through the effort of writing that up and giving it. So it's obvious you want to use it on some level. Rabbi Huda holds it's not obvious enough, and if you have to write in the text itself that this is what you're using to divorce her. Now, regarding the details of these words that we quoted in the Mishnah from Rabbi Huda, so Abaya says that Haiman the Kasav Gita, whoever it is that writes a get, has to be very careful in how he writes the text of the get itself. So he says many different details of the actual, what's usually left up for the scribe, for the writing of the get itself. He says as follows, he says, Leilichtav Vedain. When you're writing Vedain, don't write Vedain with a yud. Where, although generally you would, because the mashma Vedin, it sounds like you could read it, there's no nekudos, there's no vowelization, it would sound like that, and that's the law, which would sound like, yeah, because the law is that I should divorce you. But the inference would be, but if the law does not require that I divorce you, then I'm not divorcing you. Now, that's problematic because if the law is not mandating him to get divorced, which let's say is like by most divorces, then it wouldn't be a get. So, Ela Vedain. Rather, says Abaya, you should write Vedain without a yud, where then you can't read it any other way, but Vedain, that which means with this. Moreover, he says, "V'leilichtiv igeres." You shouldn't write when we said the word igeres shavukin, which is a scroll of abandonment. You shouldn't write it with a yud, because the mashma igras, because that could be understood as a roof, which in, that's what igar means in Aramaic, as a roof. So it might sound like he's talking about the roof, which obviously has nothing to do with a divorce. Eli igeres, rather you should write the word without a yud, which can't be read any other way, but rather would indicate that it's talking about a scroll. Moreover, he says, v'lelichtiv limahach. In other words, when you say that, when you write that sentence, which is that, as we quoted this before, that you could marry, that you could use this get, limahach lis nasava, to go ahead and get married, l'choman dis yatzman, to whoever you want to, so don't write it with a yud. Because the mashma li mehach, that could be read, where if let's say the word split up a little bit, that to me you should be, which would sound like that this sefer teruchin and the ger shivukin and the ger peturin, meaning from when you get this scroll and forward, that you're going to be to me, which is obviously the opposite of what we're trying to accomplish with a get. Rather, you should write it limahach without a yud, which then it's only going to be read that for this to go ahead and get married. Moreover, this is just an error that he's preventing Abaye. He's saying that you got to be careful when you're writing the hay of limahach that the leg of the hay doesn't touch the top of the roof of the hay, so that it shouldn't look like a ches. Because then, in that case, the mashma ki chucha, it would look like a joke. In other words, because the word limahach is chucha, which is laughter, a joke, it would sound like they say, I'm just making a joke out of you, a mockery out of you. So you got to be careful again, because that would counter-indicate what the purpose of a get is, and it wouldn't be a valid get. Now Rashi just brings down the text of the get in Rashi's version, just as an understanding and a conceptualization of where all these words come into play. So it's Patris Yosichi Lechi. I am releasing you, the ant you Pelainis Bas Pelaini, this woman, the daughter of that man. To have this in Tosi Mikadmas, to know that you were my wife up until now. Pekadu Patris, Vishavkis, Vesaruchis Yasechi, and now I am releasing you, I'm letting you go, I'm abandoning you, I'm banishing you. To have you in Risha, that you should be allowed to. Vishalto Benavshech, and you should be in control of yourself. Lamahachlis Nasava, Lacholman Desiatzvan, to go ahead and get married to whoever you want to. Veinishla Yamchabidaich, and no man could protest against you. Minyema Dinanulam, from this day and onward. And this that you should have from me, should be a get peturin, b'sei peturuchin, b'ger shvukin, kadas Moshe, should be sort of like the law of Moshe and of the Jewish people. Now the Gemara continues and says, Abaye tells us, di sehevyon, when you write that word, that it should be, and when you write the word disitzvayon, and that you will want, those two words should have tlasa yudin. Each one should have three consecutive yuds, where that will clearly have us read it disehevyon. Because if you don't put, let's say you only put two yuds, it can be read didehevyen, which would be read that in general, in women in general. So too, when you say tsiatzvan, where if you're writing three yuds in a row, that would sound like that you are permitted to marry whoever you want. But if you would write it without it, that it would sound like they, which obviously wouldn't be a get because it's talking about general women. So rather you write it with three yuds, the mashmas sehevyon, that for you it should be, and b'siatzvan, that what you want. Therefore you have to have three yuds in a row. Moreover, says Abaye, b'lorchei levav d'tiruchin u'levav d'shevukin. He should extend the vav when you're writing the word sefer tiruchin, and the vav of when you're writing ger shevukin, because if you don't lengthen the vav, it might look like a yud. Problem is then, d'mashma tiruchin. Then it would sound like that this should be a sefer tiruchin, which is a general statement for general divorcees, and the shvikin, and the general letter for forsaken and forlorn women, which wouldn't be talking about this woman. Your wouldn't be talking about hers, and therefore that wouldn't be a valid get. Moreover, he says, v'lorche levav de kadu. You should extend, when you're writing kadu patris yasecha, and that now I am releasing you, the last vav of kadu should be lengthened, that it shouldn't look like a yud. Because if you don't lengthen it, the mashmu v'kadi, then it sounds like, you know, with nothing. In other words, which actually that would be saying that I'm releasing you without a sefer, without a get, which obviously would be invalid, as we mentioned before. That's because the word kedi means like kedi nisva, means like with nothing. So you got to make sure you're writing it kadu. Also, v'leilichtev list nasava. You shouldn't write that whoever you want to get married to with an aleph, because the mashma, that could sound like, if the letters separate, lo yis nasva, that you will not get married. Ela lehis nasava. Rather, you should write it with a hey. Because if you're going to distance the le'is nasava, the lam and alf could distance from the yud, suf, and so on, that's going to sound like that you're not going to get married. And that's obviously a problem because the get has to permit her to get married to everyone else. Now the Gemara moves on and asks the following question relating to this halacha of our Mishnah, this machlekes that we had. So Yibayilu had the following question. Be'inon v'dein, oy loy be'inon v'dein. In other words, is the halacha like a Yehuda that we need this whole text v'dein? Or is the halacha like Rabban that you don't have to indicate clearly yadayim she'ein mechichas are yadayim and all you have to write is harei materes l'chol adam? So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a raya. What's the practical halacha? The askin Rava begidi, because Rava had instituted regarding gittin that the following text. He said that we could write that ech polanya bar polanya, how this man, the son of that man, pater besarchias plainisa in tase, that he released and he banished this woman who was his wife. The havas in tase min kadim, to know that was his wife up until now. That he released her from this day onward. Says the Gemara, V'ilu v'dein l'kama, he didn't say a text that says that this is the document that he released her with. So you see that you don't have, the halacha is not like a Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, l'tameich, according to your reasoning, kulu mikama, did he say all the other things that we know have to be written in the get? For example, di sehevyan, that what this should be. In other words, did Rava mention that in what he said his takana is what has to be mentioned in the get? No. Ella, rather, even though Rava didn't mention them, we know Be'inon, you have to write those things. So Hachanam here also, regards to V'dein, you could say Be'inon, that you also need to say that in the text of the Gat. It's just that Rava didn't have to say that and mention them regarding what his Takana was, because there were only certain things that he was adding on as a way of Tikkun, of regarding the rectification in the optimum way of what a Gat should be, as the Gemara explains. Because what Rava was adding on was what's called the ilu milsi, that even though actually you wouldn't have to write it, but Rava wanted to make sure this is no problems we're going to have with a get, when he said that it has to be miyayma dinan, from this day onward, that's when the divorce is happening, that was lafuki midi Rabbi Yasi. He was coming to exclude from the halacha of Rabbi Yasi, the amad that he says, that you don't have to write mehayayim from today when it's a get of a shechem rab, a dying person. Why? Because he says, Zman Yishol Shtar Mechichalav, the date in the document indicates that you want it to take effect from today, because or else why are you writing a get? If it's happening when he dies, so there's no point. When he dies, then it'll take effect. And therefore, he holds, even without a writing today, it will not be like a get lachamis. It will take effect from today. Now, that's why Rava was misaken by old gittin that the scribes should be accustomed to write Meir Medunan from today. Now, as Rashi points out, although actually the halacha is like a b'yesi, but again, that's what Rava was trying to do, that we shouldn't have even involved in any machloikis in. That we want it to be totally permitted to get, there shouldn't be any psul regarding any mishpacha and klali. So people might say, wait, well, but he says, but we don't pass like that. But that sage said that it's a problem. Rava said, we don't want any problems. We make sure it works kasha v'yasha according to all different opinions. Those are the things that Rava was mentioning. But he wasn't mentioning everything that has to be written in the text of a get. So too when he says that it's from here on ula olam and for eternity that this woman's divorced, that is, as we continue on top of it, Peivav Med Aleph, was lafuke midibayi minei Rav and Rav Nachman, was coming to exclude from what Rav had asked from Rav Nachman. The Amar, that let's say he says, Hayyim iyat ishti, if a husband tells his wife, today you're not my wife, ula machar at ishti, but tomorrow you are my wife. Where, that was his question. But then it was later resolved that, no, kivin the paska. Once she's not his wife for one day, she's not his wife forever, even if in that he was saying that, but the next day you are my wife. Now, that's the same point. So even though the halacha is that, even if you didn't write la'olam forever, it would still be a valid get, but that's what Rava was masakin, that we shouldn't do it that way, because we don't want to be mighty laws on the get. We don't want people to say rumors. What do you mean? She wasn't divorced. She was only divorced for a day. Yeah, but halacha says, but still, I saw he said that the next day you're going to be my wife. Again, those are the things Rava was mentioning, and therefore there's no raya that the halacha is not like Rabbi Yehuda, that you don't have to say b'dein, because Rava didn't mention that. He was only mentioning things which actually, even though halacha would not require it, but still Rava is saying we're doing it because we don't want to get involved in any questionable terminologies and vernacular. We want to make sure it's totally understood that this woman is permitted and that there's not going to be any questions regarding the paternity of her child after she gets married to someone else.